السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is Dr. Ali Zaini from the Weekend Islamic School. And today we're going to be talking about Sharia. It's a stereotype. Sharia or the Islamic law is too old. In the past, we talked about Sharia, which is the Islamic law, is too harsh. And we concluded that yes, it's very, very harsh on the bad guys. Very, very harsh on the criminals. And that will decrease the number of criminals and victims. It will increase very much the number of criminals, and therefore it will increase very much the number of victims. Okay? That will hold the victim accountable to very harsh punishments, will scare people away. Sharia is intended to, of course, when we talk about Sharia, Sharia is not the criminal law only. It has a lot more than that. But if we say Sharia, if we say you mean criminal law in Sharia, is that what you mean? Yes, criminal law in Sharia is extremely harsh, very harsh on the criminals, very harsh on the criminals, because we want to minimize the number of criminals and the number of victims, so the society. The rest of the society is a healthy society. Not criminals, not victims. Okay. So that was the first stereotype. The second type stereotype, Sharia is too old. And people say that all the time. You know, they say, Sharia was made 1400 years ago. It shouldn't be applied today. Life today is different than 1400 years ago. Yes or no? You say yes. Okay, and what we have available for us now is different. And this lifestyle, the do's and the don'ts and the norms and the standards that are available for us now are different than the ones 1400 years ago. Right or wrong? Yes, right. Then if this is the case, then how do you want us to believe in Sharia if it's made 1400 years ago? It cannot be implemented today. Any suggestions of how are you going to address that? Please turn on your videos and let me hear some suggestions. Any suggestions? The way I would answer that, I would say, yes and no. There are variable parts of Sharia that it changes with time and place, and there is a fixed or constant part of Sharia that doesn't change with time and place. Like what? The human life in general, before we go there, we need Sharia. Why? Because if I ask you, did you ever see any country that doesn't have a law? Is there any country in this universe, on this world, that doesn't have a law? Even if there is no law, it becomes the law of jungle. But every single country, every single state, they have laws in place. Now, these laws, they have two choices, no third. Either man-made laws or laws from Allah, from God. God made laws and man-made laws. There is no third choice. It's either this or that. Now, man-made laws are designed to serve specific segment of the society. Allah is the only one who can write laws that is fair for everybody, because he is... we are his creation, and he's the most fair and the most just. So he doesn't favor one segment over the other. But that's for the laws. But for other man-made laws, they were always intended to serve a specific kind of people, a specific interest. For example, capitalism is intended to serve the people who have money, who have the wealth, who have the capital. Capitalism. What else? Communism is intended to is intended to favor the people who are in the top government official position, the dictators on the top. They are the ones who are benefiting from this communism, or communistic way, communistic lifestyle. So here in the United States, we are all the slaves of the law. Everywhere, people are slaves of the law. So who makes that law? Unfortunately, in capitalism, the ones who make the law are the rich people. How? People, rich people have the financial ability to lobby and to change the minds of the people. For example, in the last election, there was like proposition, let's say 33. Proposition 33 says yes to the public school. Yes, we fund public school and private school, or no, we just fund public school. Schools, and we don't say send any funding to private schools. Let's say this is proposition 33, and I'm an owner of a private school, so I would like to have fund coming to me as a private school. Okay, so what I do, I try to convince the people to vote yes, send money to include the private schools in the funding. Yes, I want people to say yes. So what I do? I run ads on the television. I say, I run commercials. And I say, yes, we don't have to go to public schools. In public schools, you don't get what you're paying for. In public schools, you don't get, there's a lot of fat. You're paying more, too much than what you're getting. And all of these things. And then running a commercial, running lobbying. In the masjid, for example, they come into a masjid meeting and they say, or like a family dinner or whatever this event that the masjid is having, and they ask that they come to speak to us in the masjid, Muslims, and they are going to, they will tell us, advertise that we're going to do a raffle for 3 laptops. So we're giving away 3 laptops by raffle at the end. So by saying that, a lot of people will be attracted to come and attend the presentation. And at the end, a raffle is drawn, and then here we go. Three people get three laptops. And who can afford that other than the people who have the money? The poor people cannot afford that. So the poor people are not the ones who make the laws. The ones who make the laws are the rich people. And this is what capitalism is. Insurance companies, banks, and all of these special interest lobbyists, they are rich people. Poor people don't get to change the laws. Okay? So, this is why al-Sharia, or the laws of Allah, is the one that should be selected. Only Allah is the one that should be selected to legislate laws that are fair for everybody. Okay? In communism, those dictators have a spy for every 2 citizens, and spying on each other and oppressing people, torture them mercilessly, the ones who oppose the communist regime or the communist party. And we know horror stories about these things. And they made the laws they made unfair laws. They made, I would say, laws that are criminals, that there are crimes basically to apply these laws. Okay, so now how do you answer the ones who says 1400 years ago? Well, 1400 years ago, Sharia will still apply. Why? Tell you why. Because there are today's societies, there are 2 kind of laws, or 2 kinds of laws in Sharia. One is called constant laws that don't change with time and place, and then the other one's called variable laws that change with time and place. Okay? For example, the 10 commandments, do they apply today? Yes. Do they apply in the past? Yes. Do they apply here in the United States? Yes. Do they apply in China? Yes. The Ten Commandments are the Ten Commandments. The moral values in general is a constant part of Sharia. Don't change with time and place. Moral values are constant. Don't change with time and place. And this is where this is called the fixed or the constant part of Sharia, the Ten Commandments. They all came, the Ten Commandments. If we go, I think I play it for you before the Ten Commandments, but just let me make sure you got it. The Ten Commandments, and of course the equivalent Ten Commandments in the Quran. I'm saying the equivalent. Ten Commandments are in Judeo-Christian teachings, and here, starting from here. Now let's start with this one.
Thy Lord hath decreed that ye worship none save him, and that ye show kindness to parents. If one of them or both of them attain to old age with thee, say not fie unto them, nor repulse them, but speak unto them a gracious word. And lower unto them the wing of submission through mercy, and say, My Lord, have mercy on them both, as they did care for me when I was little.
All times, all places.
Your Lord is best aware of what is in your minds. If ye are righteous, then lo, he was ever forgiving unto those who turn unto him. Give the kinsman his due, and the needy, and the wayfarer, and squander not thy wealth in wantonness. Lo, the squanderers were ever brothers of the devils, and the devil was ever an ingrate to his Lord. But if thou turn away from them, seeking mercy from thy Lord, for which thou hopest, then speak unto them a reasonable word. And let not thy hand be chained to thy neck, nor open it with a complete opening, lest thou sit down rebuked, denuded. Lo, thy Lord enlargeth the provision for whom he will, and straighteneth it for whom he will. Lo, he was ever knower, seer of his slave.
ولا تقتلوا أولادكم.
And we will say to him, read your book. Enough are you today to take. And do not keep your.
Slay not your children, fearing a fall to poverty. We shall provide for them and for you. Lo, the slaying of them is great sin. And come not near unto adultery. Lo, it is an abomination and an evil way. And slay not the life which Allah hath forbidden, save with right. Whoso is slain wrongfully, we have given power unto his heir, but let him not commit excess in slaying. Lo, he will be helped. Come not near the wealth of the orphan, save with that which is better, till he come to strength and keep the covenant. Lo, of the covenant it will be asked. Fill the measure when ye measure, and weigh with the right balance, that is meet and better in the end. O man, follow not that whereof thou hast no knowledge. Lo, the hearing and the sight and the heart of each of these it will be asked. And walk not in the earth exultant. Lo, thou canst not rend the earth, nor canst thou stretch to the height of the hills.
This is one section in Surah Al-Isra that talks about the commandments. And there is another part at the end of Surah Al-An'am here. Okay.
Say, come, I will recite unto you that which your Lord hath made a sacred duty for you, that ye ascribe nothing as partner unto him, and that ye do good to parents, and that ye slay not your children because of penury. We provide for you and for them, and that ye draw not nigh to lewd things, whether open or concealed, and that ye slay not the life which Allah hath made sacred, save in the course of justice. This he hath commanded you in order that ye may discern. And approach not the wealth of the orphan, save with that which is better till he reach maturity. Give full measure and full weight in justice. We task not any soul beyond its scope. And if ye give your word, do justice thereunto, even though it be against a kinsman, and fulfill the covenant of Allah. This he commandeth you that haply ye may remember. And he...
Okay, so these things should not change with time and place. The Ten Commandments, they are the same in China, the same in Russia, the same in Egypt, the same in the United States. These are human values, moral values, don't change through time. Unfortunately, we see the change in the relationship between men and women. They are changing. Now it's pretty much normal for men and women to engage in romance without being married, romantic acts without being married. That wasn't the situation in the United States like 60 or 70 years ago. But now, you know, it's becoming common. It's becoming very common and very, very accepted. And that's not a part that's changeable. The Ten Commandments do not approach adultery, do not approach fornication. This is from the Ten Commandments, from the Islamic commandments, from the Christian commandments, from the Jewish commandments. Do not approach adultery. Yet the American society walked away from this, and adultery now becomes the norm. Dating and adultery and all of these things become norm, unfortunately. And people are saying, people, especially at college, they are arguing 1400 years ago, it makes sense that this thing is not good. But now, yeah, there is a birth control. There is all these ways, modern ways of protecting ourselves from sexually transmitted diseases. Then it's okay now because it's the past. It wasn't. Now it's okay. And what's wrong with having a single mom, a mother that's not married? There's a lot of, you get on a lot of arguments, but Sharia says, closes this door. It says adultery, fornication are forbidden. Whether it is 1,000 years ago or 1,000 years before, is whether it's in any place in the face of the earth, at any time, adultery, fornication are forbidden. They are sins. They are forbidden. Okay. And now, in the United States, that's walking away, completely walking away from this commandment. And do you have questions? Okay, anyway, the bottom line is that in Sharia, the laws that apply today, there's a fixed aspect of the human life. There is a man and there is a woman. Okay. So they are married. So here's the marital laws. And they have the children. Now here are the inheritance laws. And they live in a place, whether it's a tent, whether it's a cave, whether it's a house, whether it's an apartment, it's a place of living. And then they have neighbors. So here we go. There are laws that regulate the rules of the neighbors. Your freedom ends where the freedom of your neighbor starts, and where is that boundary set? And there is a law set for having a house, living in a house, how many people, how many rooms, and all of these things. And actually having how many rooms, how big is the home, or all of these things, whether it's a cave or a tent or a home, that depends on the time and place. So that's not a fixed part of the Sharia. The fixed part is that there will be a residence, call it whatever, there will be a residence. And you will have neighbors. So the laws regulate relationship between neighbors. And then we have societies, and actually before we even have societies, we have markets. We go trade on the market. Then you have to have a law that regulates the trading. The trading, what's right, what's wrong, what's possible, what's not possible, what's permissible, monopoly, riba, usury, interest, cheating, all of these things, these are on the laws of the market, okay? And now there is, people are going to argue with each other, so they need a court system, okay? Now, people need to, this society has to have a leadership, okay? Now, this leadership here is we go, leadership, who becomes a leader, how to select the leader, what are the limits of the leadership, who's, and now there are criminals, so you need police, you need law enforcement, you need agencies, you need all of these things. See, these things come, happen in any society at any time. This is a fixed aspect of the human life, and it can be, you know, there are there are laws and regulations that constant laws and regulation that guards and regulates these constant aspects of the human life. Okay, so this is where the Sharia is fixed, but the Sharia is very, very flexible when it comes to the variable part. Like I want to, in the marketing, for example, or the market, I want to pay by check. Good, no problem. Debit card, no problem. Cash, no problem. Riba, no. No. Okay? So you have freedom of halal, but you have no freedom in haram. You have freedom in allowable things, and you have no freedom in the things that are not allowed by Allah. So we have a freedom of cash, debit, check. Riba, no. We don't have freedom in riba. Okay? So that's where the laws of riba, monopoly, and cheating, there are laws that are fixed part of the Sharia regarding these issues. Okay? When you are going to step outside of the boundaries of halal and haram. And it's always true that this is the haram, this is the halal. It's a broad range between haram and halal to accommodate different people living at different times, living at different societies. There's a lot of laws. There's a broad range by Sharia given for halal and haram to accommodate different people, different societies at different times. Okay? But inside this range, or between haram and halal, there is wise and unwise. So not every halal thing is wise, and not every haram thing is unwise. You can be still in the range of halal and haram and be unwise. I'll give you an example, divorce, for example. Divorce is, Allah made it halal, but Allah doesn't like it. Allah doesn't like divorce. And Prophet Muhammad said, the worst halal Allah ever allowed was divorce. So if you have a good wife, can you divorce her? Yeah, the Sharia will tell you not to divorce her. If you want to divorce her, divorce her. I mean, there is nothing that can be done about that. However, it's extremely unwise. If you have a good wife, you need to hold on to this wife. You know, you don't want to divorce her, okay? At the same time, if you have a bad wife or a bad spouse, and it's wise to divorce a bad spouse and get rid of this bad spouse, it's wise to do so, okay? But what if you don't want divorce? Okay, it's up to you. So it's within the range of halal and haram, there is a range of wise and unwise, okay? Wise and unwise is customized on a case-by-case basis. But it falls, the range, wise and unwise, the range between them falls inside the range of halal and haram. So everybody will customize wise and unwise to whatever, for example, you know, having more than one wife, for example. I, in United States, no. In Egypt, in the United States is very unwise. In Egypt is very unwise. In Saudi Arabia, I heard something in the news that day, but I'm not sure if it's true or not, that the king is issuing an order for every man to marry two women because there are so many women that are unmarried and they don't have an equal men. So the ratio of men to women got raised to 1 to 2. So he said, now he said, everyone must marry two because we don't want to leave women without marriage. I don't know if this is true or not, but I've heard it. I can't remember exactly where and when. Okay. So that was wise for them, wise thing for them to do. Okay. But if it's, and also the law in Saudi Arabia doesn't allow non-citizens to marry citizens. Like they don't allow a Saudi woman to marry an Egyptian man, for example. It's not allowed. That's the law. So they made it, this law is unwise. So it created another scenario for them is that, well, but we need to have, make sure that there are enough men for all these Saudi women to marry. Well, how? Okay, we ask the men, you have to marry too. See, there are certain scenarios. This is where Islam is flexible. Okay, so everybody, this is the range of halal and haram. Haram is to have more than four. That's haram, that's your limit, max. Okay, so 1 to 2 is okay. But is it wise in Saudi Arabia? Yes. In Egypt, no. In Egypt, people can barely afford one family. Nobody can afford two families. Out of my entire extended family, which is about like 400 people that I know, I don't know of any single one who's married to in Egypt, has two wives. And the only friend that I can think of, the only friend, not from extended family, friend, I know, not a friend, even acquaintance, I know one guy only. That's how that he was crazy enough to do it. But anyway, he was rich, so he didn't have financial trouble, but the headache that comes with it is so much that he was crazy enough to do it. But hey, it's his problem, but people in Egypt know better than having more than one wife. Sudan, sometimes, some Sudanese ladies, they, I watched them in some interview or something like that, that said that there was an there was a Sudanese woman that she's happy that her husband's going to get married. So she was asked why. She said, he's too much to handle by myself. It's good to have break, one day break. It's nice to have a co-wife to share, the problems with him, to share his problems with me. You know, I get rid of him, I get a release. I get a relief at least one day a week. And so less than one day every 50%, a day every other day. So things like that, wise and unwise things work inside the customized based on the time, based on the society. But we cannot go outside of that. So haram is zina, fornication or adultery. Halal, up to four wives. Between the range of 1 to 4, okay, that's based on wise and unwise and based on a specific situation. For example, if someone, his wife doesn't, we will talk about this in details when it comes to Islam allows more than one wife. We'll talk about the scenarios, specific scenarios that were these cases were designed for. So we'll not talk about this today. So, but I'm just giving you the heads up, not the heads up, just using this as an example to show you that Islam is flexible, but rigid. Rigid on the moral values, no changes, commandments, no changes, but flexible on other things. Having a C-section during delivery. Sometimes it's wise, sometimes it's unwise. It's based on the doctor. Some ladies don't like to go through the pain of delivery, so they demand a C-section. Okay, but this is very unwise, but nobody can say it's haram. Okay, and so forth. Now, unfortunately, in the United States, the laws, the moral values change with time and place. I'll give you an example. If you ever visited Lake Tahoe, I don't know if I ever tell you about this example or not, but this is the city of Lake Tahoe. There is, on the west is California, on the east is Nevada. Lake Tahoe is divided into Nevada Lake Tahoe in the east, California Lake Tahoe is in the west. And between them, there is a street called the State Street, the State Line, or the State Street. I think it's called State Line or State Line, yeah. Okay. The laws of California apply all the way up to this line. Once you step outside here in Nevada, the laws of Nevada apply. Now, watch. This is very disturbing. What's very disturbing here is that California economy prohibits gambling and prostitution. Why? Because California economy is based on agriculture, you know, manufacturing and things like that. So they don't need entertainment, and they don't need for their economy, they don't need prostitution and gambling. Nevada, they are based on, the economy of Nevada is based on entertainment industry. That's the main source of income, if not the only, almost the only. So they decided to make the prostitution and gambling legal. So it means that this is very disturbing, because if you have to, let me do this. If you have two hotels across the street from each other, so this is one hotel, and this is another hotel. You find the gambling casinos in this hotel. So gambling here is legal. And just right across the street, gambling is illegal. So gambling here is halal, but here is haram. Right across the street. Now, why is that? Because economy is controlling the moral values. So the moral values should control the economy, but the economy here is controlling the moral values. So prostitution and gambling here is in this hotel, which is just like few feet away from the other one, is haram. It's haram, prostitution and gambling, and here prostitution and gambling is halal. Same thing applies on Indian lands. Indian lands, which are land designated for Indians, they allow gambling in it. Okay, so you can have like an Indian land, and then gambling outside of Indian land is haram. Inside the Indian land is halal, which is also another shameful thing that we should be ashamed of, that moral values should not be controlled by economy or by location. Another example, which one I hated really so much, when I was living in Indiana, they had a law that says gambling is haram, illegal in Indiana, on the lands of Indiana. Okay, so now they did what? They brought boats and they allowed gambling on the boat. So all you need to do is just walk on the walkway, go to the boat, and then you can gamble. It's a ship, it's not a boat, it's a big ship in the river. Indiana doesn't have water other than rivers. So in the river, there is a ship, big ship, and then you can come in to gamble and then come out. And they say this is allowed. Why? Because they said the law says the land of Nevada, you cannot gamble on the land of Nevada. You cannot gamble in the land of Nevada. I'm sorry. You cannot gamble in the lands of Indiana. But the law doesn't talk about water of Indiana. I mean, I feel very frustrated. I felt really frustrated I mean, and the reason they're letting them get away with it, you might say, why do they get, how can they get away with this? Is because they pay taxes because of the gambling income. It's a lot of money and it pays a lot of, they pay a lot of taxes to the city, a lot of taxes to the county, a lot of taxes to the state. So a lot of taxes even to the federal government. So that's why they are being allowed. The federal government doesn't care really because, but what's get affected most is the city, the county, and the state taxes, because they that's how they allow people to get away with these things, with these ridiculous things. So what does gambling have to do with you being on a ship or in a casino? Casino on a ship, or a casino on a ship, or casino on land? It's a casino. Whether you have it on land, whether you have it on the river, it's a casino. Okay? So Islam is no way allowing these things to happen. There's no way. Land, water, inside the country, outside the country, in one state or another state, time and place do not change the fixed parts of Sharia. Adultery and gambling will always be haram anywhere, at all time, everywhere, every place, any place. Doesn't matter. People say, yeah, adultery was bad in the past because they didn't have birth control bills. Oh, it was bad because they didn't have condoms. Oh, it's bad because they couldn't have safe whatever, romance act. Safe sex, basically, what I'm trying to say. They are, and they keep making excuses. I say, no, this has nothing to do with time. They said in the past it wasn't acceptable, now it's acceptable. No, no. Adultery, fornication cannot be cannot be halal at any way, under any justification. They are haram, 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 haram. Regardless of time, regardless of place. And United States were 70, 60, 70, 80 years ago, 60 years ago, they were, it wasn't norm for people to engage into liberal sexual relationships outside of the marriage. It wasn't norm at all. It became norm nowadays, okay? So Sharia is going to stand against that regardless of time and place. So that basically explains the reason why Sharia is strict in these areas. Now, also the issue of interest, the usury of interest. There is an equation for interest that makes the difference, that makes usury haram and interest is halal. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said riba is haram, the disbelievers said, well, riba is like business and business is like riba. So Allah said, I am saying to you, business is halal, riba is haram. Allah is speaking from a high authority. Did not want to explain to the, could, I mean, it's not appropriate for the Quran to be a place where to include the mathematical formulas and things like that. But if we, my father was, has a master's degree in the Sharia financing. So here, this is the equation of riba or capitalism. $100 plus 1 year is $110. This is haram. Why? Because it causes inflation. Why it causes inflation? Because the what's worth $100 after 1 year, it will worth $110. What you can buy for $100 today, after 1 year, you can buy for $100. You will have to buy for $110. So money plus time equals to more money is haram. So then what is the business which is allowed by Sharia? Sharia allowed $100 plus work equals to 110. So here, the difference, one, the riba is the increase. And the meaning of the word riba means increase. The increase, which is the $10, 110 minus 100 is so $10 difference here is made because of the time. Okay? But here, the $10 is made because of the work. So this 110 is after the work is done, the profit, you gain $10 by doing this work, by doing this business. So $100 plus business equals 110. This is Sharia equation, which is halal. But $100 plus 1 year is equal to 110. This is haram because it's riba. Okay? And that's why even the Prophet says, do not sell money for money. Money for money. Like you want to buy $200,000 today in exchange of $500,000 in 10 years. That's buying money with money, haram. Okay? The Prophet says, don't buy thing with equal thing with an equivalent thing, but the quantity is different. For example, don't buy one good car for two bad cars, as an example. The haram way is you exchange one good car for two bad cars. This is haram. Why? Because it's a car. You're exchanging cars with cars. And you might say, why is this haram? I'll tell you why this is haram, because there is no business involved. But what Islam says, take the two old cars, go to the market, sell them, get the money, and then go buy a new car. See? Now you say, what's the difference? The difference is that when you take the two old cars to the market and sell them, that's business. So you went down from two old cars to one new car through business. Selling, buying, you sold two cars. This is two business transactions. You buy a new car, that's a third business transaction. So that's what Sharia allows. Sharia doesn't allow you to exchange two old cars for one new car. No, you have to change the kind. You have to change the kind during the transaction. So you cannot do cars with cars. You cannot do gold with more gold, cars with more cars. Okay? So what if you have an old gold and you want to buy, you want to exchange 100 grams of good gold, or like $100 of good, or let's say 100 grams. You want to exchange 100 grams of new gold with 80 grams of old gold. So you want to have new gold, so you exchange 80 for 100. That's haram, because you're exchanging gold with gold. What Islam says, you go sell the old gold in the market, get the money cash, then go buy the new gold. So here's the business here. That's a business. Why? Selling the gold. When you change the kind, you force it to engage in a transaction. Okay? So when you change the kind, you're forced to change into transaction. Selling, buying. So selling the 80 grams of selling the 100 grams of old selling the 80 grams of old gold, that's a business, and then getting the cash and buying the new one, that's another business. Two business transactions. So you're making money out of this business transactions. It's not something, it's not with the same kind, the quantity is different, but the same kind but the quantity is different. That's forbidden in Islam. You cannot sell same kinds but the quantity is different. They have to change the kind. You have to go through selling and buying. Change the kind. So change from cars to cash, then to car. Change from gold to cash, then to gold. Okay? And that creates business. And monopoly, for example, in Islam, monopoly is haram. So it's haram for somebody to buy all the rice in the market and store it. And then when nobody has the market, then you make your own price. You double the price of the rice. That's haram. That's illegal. That's forbidden. And cheating, of course, for well understandable reasons, it's haram. And regardless of time and place, you can't allow cheating. You can't allow monopoly. because these are moral values, and Sharia is very rigid about them. Sharia will not let you get away with any of these things. Sharia is not going to let you get away with interest. Sharia is not going to let you get away with exchanging things with same things with the different quantities. Sharia is not going to get you get away with monopoly. There is no way. But you want to do business using checks, fine. Credit card, fine. Debit cards, fine. Cash, fine. Riba, interest, no, it's not fine. Okay? So this is how the Sharia, Islamic Sharia, is valid today, as it was valid 1400 years ago, as it will be valid until the Day of Judgment, because it deals with the fixed aspects of human life. Okay. Yeah, about marriage age, the laws of marriage age. They're getting ridiculous about that. I knew American friends who say that my grandma married when she was 14 and my grandma married when she was 16. And now they are specifying the age of marriage to be minimum 18. So how is that ridiculous? If we look at what's the difference between a teenage girl, pregnant teenage girl in the United States versus pregnant teenage girl in a Sharia compliant country, you will find that the 13 years old pregnant girl in the United States don't have a husband, but the 13 years old pregnant girl in the Sharia country have a husband. That's a humongous difference. Statistics show that there's a lot of, I think if I remember correctly, the statistics, there was a lot of pregnant teenagers in the United States. But in a Sharia compliant country, there will never be such a thing. If there is a 13 years old pregnant girl in a Sharia compliant country, then for sure she has a husband. She's not a single mother. How can a child have a child by himself or by herself? A child is a mother of a child. Can't work that way. There has to be a husband and wife, an established family to have a child. Okay? So that establishment is not a child having a child. It's a family having a child. In Sharia, there is no limit for the marriage. But, of course, it falls under wise versus unwise. Young marriages are okay in Sharia. Maybe they are not okay in the United States, but they are okay in a Sharia compliant countries, because young girls, like the American young girls, like the American teenage girls, are getting pregnant. The evidence from reality says that they should be married. If they want to get pregnant, they should be married. So if they want to get pregnant, because they are not allowing them to get married, they are getting pregnant without a child is a parent of another child. A child 13 years old, and the girls, the women are the losers. The girls are the losers in the liberal relationship. The girls are the losers because they are the ones who end up aborted or deserted or being single mothers without anybody to take care of them and take care of the child. It's dictating the age of marriage Sharia is silent regarding this issue. So Sharia does not say it's haram, but the law of the land, but Sharia doesn't say that. The state cannot adopt a law that says that you have to be above a certain age to get married. The state can adopt this law, okay? So there's nothing in Sharia that doesn't allow it. However, when applying this law, make sure that your teenage girls are protected, okay? So in a Sharia compliant country, if they say the age of marriage is 18 and above, there will be no pregnant teenagers at all. Why? Because they are strict about the laws of liberal relationships, liberal sex. They are very strict about it. So no teenager girl will be pregnant. Okay. But here, a lot of statistics, a lot. I mean, thousands, 10,000, hundreds of thousand cases of, that's the reported ones. But the ones that are not reported, there is black market for abortion. And there is a black market for, if abortion is not allowed, of course in Islam, abortion is not allowed unless there is a health threat on the mother or the child. And this health threat should be assessed by physicians, doctors who are specialized in this area. They are the ones who rule whether the abortion is allowed or not allowed. Okay, that's the Islamic position. The unrealistic position is that abortion is allowed. That's haram, that's a murder, that's a killing of a human being inside his mother's womb. That's a murder. Sharia is, it doesn't matter lobbying or not lobbying or whatever it is. Sharia, abortion in the eyes of Sharia is haram unless doctors say it's a threat for the mother or the child. That's period, no changes with time and place. People lobby, and even in the election campaigns, and I will allow abortion, and I will allow, and I will allow same-sex marriages, I will allow same-gender marriages, I will allow. Sharia doesn't work this way. It's not a choice in Sharia. Same-gender marriage or relationships is not a choice in Sharia, it's a crime. Sharia doesn't allow that, okay? But if you have a homosexual person here in the United States, is it going to be a totally different situation than having a homosexual person in a Sharia country? In a Sharia country, it's a crime, and this cannot exist, will not be accommodated. But here is a different story. It's not a crime here. As far as a legal crime, it's not a legal crime. It's a moral crime though, but it's not a legal crime. And people keep saying, okay, they are free to do this if they want to. Well, as far as I am as a person, I have no say in it. I mean, it's, if the two people want to do it, they do it. I mean, I, as a person, as an individual, or as a community, there's nothing we can do about it. But if it's in a Sharia compliant country, the government is responsible of handling this kind of behavior. The government, not the individuals. No vigilantism in Sharia is not allowed. But in other words, what I'm trying to get to you here is that there are aspects of Sharia. There are aspects of Sharia that are not compromisable. That's not allowed. And also the five objectives of Sharia that we talked about last time, the five objectives of Sharia, these don't change with time and place. The same objectives are there and they don't change with time and place at all. Okay, let me add.